This morning I'd like to speak to you of the subject, All That Love His Appearing. Have you thought about the people and around you and in your everyday life? Isn't that kind of a line there, kind of a litmus? Those that would love his appearing at this very moment, that he'd come back. Now listen, we'd leave this world. All of these things, family life, homes, lands, they'd be gone. We'd no longer be here. Those that love his appearing. I read this from time to time, and every day it becomes more prevalent. It's just a short paragraph by A.W. Pink called Another Gospel. And I see it more and more before my eyes daily. The gospel of Satan is not a system of revolutionary principles, nor yet a program of anarchy. It does not promote strife and war, but it aims at peace and unity. It seeks not to set the mother against the daughter, nor the father against his son, but fosters the fraternal spirit whereby the human race is regarded as one great brotherhood. It does not seek to drag down the natural man, but to improve and uplift him. It advocates education, cultivation, and appeals to the best that's within us. It aims to make this world such a comfortable and congenial habitat that Christ absent from it will not be felt. And that's where we are. And God will not be needed. That's most surely where we are. And we'll speak on that some today. It endeavors to occupy man so much with this world that he has no time or inclination to think of the world to come. It propagates the principles of self-sacrifice, charity, benevolence, and it teaches to live for the good of others and to be kind to all. Now I'm talking about not the gospel of Christ, the gospel of Satan. It appeals strongly to the carnal mind, and it's popular with the masses because it ignores the solemn facts that by nature, man is a fallen creature. He's alienated from the life of God and dead in trespasses and sins, and that his only hope is to be born again. It's his only hope. I was listening to a message by Martin Lloyd-Jones this morning on the blood of Christ. And he speaks that he doesn't bring men to God by teaching. He doesn't bring men to God by teaching men how to live, and he doesn't bring men to God by being an example. And that's the truth. That's not how men come to God. Our text is Psalm 139 and verse 14. And as I spoke, I want to talk to you about all that would love his appearing. And David makes a statement here, and that we've been speaking a lot on the blood. And he said, I will praise thee. I probably fell woefully short, but in praying this morning before we started this word, I want to praise God for the things that we spoke of. And David said, I will praise thee. And he said, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And we are. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. There's a whole message right there in one verse spoken by David. I would wonder how we may have been Have you thought about it prior to the fall? How Adam was, not necessarily, we think of oh, he was in Eden and he was in the garden and he was in paradise. But I mean how Adam really was as a man in God's image. No matter where he would have been, as a man in God's image. There's no miracle on this earth like the human body. As we prayed, what a living creature. Not a living creature like those dogs out there. Before sin, we were eternal creatures. In Christ Jesus, prior to the foundation of the earth, it says, speaks of in Ephesians 1:7. Already in Christ Jesus, created in the image of God. But what I see today, as we spoke, that's why I wanted to read you another gospel there by A.W. Ping. There's no wonder, no awe for the things of God. Because Satan has created another realm, you see. As we now live, you can't say we don't, in a supernatural world. You think of the world 150 years ago, even 100 years ago, perhaps even 80 years ago, and we now live in a supernatural world. Man split the atom. The wonder today is not on God's creation. I think of the words of Martin Lloyd-Jones. He said, and I found this out yesterday, the teaching of Christ, the preaching of Christ, it doesn't draw men to Christ. It drives them away. Look around. You've seen it. You've seen it some. She's seen it more. We've seen it much more. I've preached nothing that I know of but the truth of Christ's word. And it didn't draw men closer. It drove them away. And today, the miracles of God, the things we read about in this blessed book, they hold no awe. They hold no wonderment. Woman yesterday, older woman, older than me, she, I don't read the Bible anymore. I don't need to read the Bible anymore. Today we have a so-called pandemic. And men fear for their lives. Do you see them running to God? No, they're looking for a vaccine. Men no longer seek God. Even their food and raiment's met by the man, by the government. They don't look to God for that. For what does a man need God? I'm asking you. Why do you need God? You see, men have become jaded. They've no affinity for the things of God. No need for the things of God. Let there be light. We've got light. Look. Electricity. Firmament in the water. He divided, and there's a firmament in the water. Dry land came up. Have you seen Dubai? They've built a firmament in the water. God created living creatures. Have you seen the robots and the cyborgs and the clones? We separate waters and seas. With great dams and such, hydroelectric power, solar power, nuclear power. We far outdo the magicians of Pharaoh. do we not? Artificial body parts. Not just jet travel, but space travel. Undersea exploration. We've been, seen, and done everything. Ezekiel's visions. Remember? And I can read that thing and I'm in awe. But the natural man can. He goes, what? Revelation, and I can, those in Christ can read that thing and be in awe, but not the natural. We've made games of that children play. And all those things that we see in a book, they see on a screen, and it comes to life. We've instant communication with the other side of the world. Visual. I could do a face, whatever they call it, FaceTime with a Chinaman right now, or a Russian man on the other side of the world. Visual communication. Even out of this world, there's a camera on Mars. Listen, we've raised the dead. You've seen it happen. Brought dead men back to life by artificial means or resuscitation, or you see. We've created a so-called, you might say, a virgin birth. Women have babies without a man. They have a uterine transplants and vitro fertilization. Come on, folks. You see, we've come full circle. You remember back in Genesis chapter 11 and verse 6? The tower called Babel. When God created the Babel. Genesis 11, and the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. Do we not all have one language today? And this they began to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them, which they've imagined to do. And turn back a few pages. You remember before the great flood in Genesis chapter 6. Verse 3, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for he's also flesh, and yet his days shall be 120 years. In verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Go to the New Testament, look at 2 Timothy, the book of 2 Timothy in chapter 3 and verse 13. He said, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And we're smack dab in the middle of that right now. It's all around us. Exactly as God said it would be. He said, turn to Matthew 24:24. Christ said, for there shall rise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch, now look, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. This is exactly as God said it would be. Just look at the men that people believe today. You want something supernatural? I'm not being funny. Look at Nancy Pelosi. People vote for her. Why, even a natural man doesn't know Christ that's got any brains would see. That's insanity. It's beyond delusion. Jezebel yet lives. And how many more like her? By the way, if so many more, did you know that she's a Jew? Read the book. Many of the most liberal, anti-God people on the earth right now are Jews. God's chosen people. Apostate Jews. You remember they crucified Christ. Acts 2:36. I'm not being anti-Semitic. I love the state of Israel. I'm speaking Bible. Peter said, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly, God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. He said, you did it. You crucified him. Any wondering in Luke 13:23, they asked, Lord, are there few that be saved? Told you last night, I got to know, this is all that transpired. We had a conflict. An older woman said that she had this peace in Christ. I said, yes, ma'am, it's the only liberty that a man on this earth will ever know, Christ Jesus. And I said, most never find it. And the woman sitting there, got mad and said, I was judging people, and that was not love, saying that most people would never find it. And it created, that right there, one line, created this big brouhaha. Remember the straight gate? The Lord said, those are not my words. He said, few there be that find it. Many are called, but few are chosen. I believe that believing in God, because he is so-called supernatural, is a grave error. Now you have to get that. Turn to the book of John. And that's actually why most people do. Catholicism is based on such. John chapter 20 and verse 29. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. But he said, blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. You see, it's what we don't see. I say, those that are in Christ, it's what we don't see. Jesus warned of only believing for the miracles, you remember? He said, you boys have just come down here for the miracles. And they still do. Everybody wants the show. And that's why they build the great churches as they do in all the bells and whistles, so to speak. But faith, that which we're saved by, faith itself is what is yet hoped for. Right? Yet to come, what yet's hoped for and not seen. And that which is seen, the Bible says in Romans 8, that's not hope. If you've seen it, what's there to hope for? we're looking for his appearing. He said, all that love his appearing. Well, how does it? How does faith come? Not by sight, but by hearing. We'll praise God for healing, but not for sickness. You ever think about it? You better consider that. Job's friends, they erred greatly right there. But not Job. Job said, though he slay me, I'll trust in him. Praise God for living, but not for dying. Praise God for riches, but not for poor. Do you see? You see, we've got to get our faith off this earth. That's the problem. We have integrated, as we read with the pink, we've integrated our faith with the earth. And we're to get our faith on what's yet to come, not what's already here. And this is extremely important. Our Lord, He left us a comforter. He said, I'm not going to leave you alone. I'll leave you the comfort, you see. But our treasure is not to be here. It's to be in heaven, not here on earth. And that's why we don't wear crucifixes and crosses, and we don't have icons and statues and such. You know why? Now, historically, that might be a real neat thing. But do you remember when they stayed the plague in the Old Testament? They put a brass serpent on a pole, and it stayed the plague. God told them to do it. But you know what happened after that? Just like He put Christ on the cross, it stayed the plague of sin. But they kept a piece of that thing, and they went whoring after it. It became an idol. And I think that happens to even evangelicals today. They'll have something happen in their life, or they'll take a moment in time, or a specific church, even a specific pastor. I've seen them do it. Some special thing, and it becomes an idol of things past. But He said, all that are in Him, they love His appearing, what's yet to come. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evident of things not seen, you see. If you're looking for signs and wonders, see Lucifer and his minions. They've got all you want. We've got one sitting here with two men listening to the sermon right now. All the signs and wonders you want, you see. We've got plenty. But we're to possess the peace that passeth all understanding. We're to be content, Paul said, in whatever state we're in. And His grace is to be sufficient for you and I. Truth is that most seek natural and supernatural phenomena for their belief. Child of God shouldn't have to. He's got it in Him. You see. And you know why? Because most have never experienced grace. Speaking with Brother Robert yesterday on the phone about conversion, I've said for years, problem most men, they've never been converted. They've never experienced the new birth, you see. They've never been taken from darkness. From the darkness that men call life in this world to the glorious life to come, Jesus Christ. They've never come out to be separate. They're still yoked to this life, and they're still yoked to those in it. He said, except you hate father, mother, brother, sister, you know the verses. But we've faith. Faith. And we know what that is. We've got chapters on it in the Bible. And let me say in Romans 3:25 so aptly states, he said, by propitiation, you remember that? And he said, and this goes to what to say with the discussions we've had of late. Faith in His blood. Faith in His blood. And what is faith again? I don't have to see it. If I do, it's not faith. His death, burial, and resurrection are things that I believe. Okay? Now hear me. Because you can get this thing wrong. But my faith is built on nothing less, as the hymn goes, but Jesus' blood and righteousness. He's a propitiation for my sins, that I might have faith in his blood. And you better get that. Many esteemed men educate have not. That's why I believe his blood's at the mercy. I've yet to get there to see that thing. I'm to have faith in something that's gone in the dirt? So, how shall we close, seeing that we're so fearfully and wonderfully made? Well, we go back to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And Paul gives us a charge. Starting in verse 1, he said, I charge thee, therefore. He's getting ready to go. Perhaps I'm getting ready to go. More ready than most of you by age. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. He said, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. I'm told yesterday, this is not the time or place to speak the things of Christ. Anytime there's not a time or place to speak things of Christ, I don't want to be there. I'm in the wrong place. That doesn't mean I'm just going to extemporaneously start preaching every place I go. But it means if the occasion arises, if God opens the door, I'm speaking the things of Christ. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, they shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned to fables. But watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I fought the good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, now look, but unto all them also that love his appearing. All that love his appearing. All them also that love his appearing. You see? My faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, to those that yet love his appearing. I've spoken many times of this living book, this Bible, this King James Bible, and there's no electronic marvel I've ever seen on this earth that's like it. If you're in Christ, if you've got faith in the blood of Christ Jesus, if you look for his appearing, if you've been born again of the Spirit of God, if all things have become new in your life, and he's given you a new heart and a new mind, and he's opened your eyes and he opened your ears, this is the most supernatural thing that I know on the face of the earth, besides the child of God himself, that's fearfully and wonderfully made, this Bible. In the beginning was the Word, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. To those in Christ with a supernatural, to those in Christ with a spiritual nature, it's even beyond that which the natural man calls magical or supernatural. Now I'd like to close with a reading of just five such verses of wonder and majesty. Okay? Can I do that? Would you turn with me to the book of Ezekiel? Ezekiel chapter 10. Just the first five verses of Ezekiel 10. Ezekiel said, "And I looked, and behold, in the firmament that was above the head of the cherubims, there appeared over them as it were a sapphire stone, as the appearance of the likeness of a throne. And he spake unto the man clothed with linen and said, Go in between the wheels, even under the cherub, and fill thine hand with coals of fire from between the cherubims, and scatter them over the city. And he went in my sight. And now the cherubim stood on the right side of the house. When the man went in, and the cloud filled the inner court, and then the glory of the Lord went up from the cherub and stood over the threshold of the house, and the house was filled with the cloud, and the court was full of the brightness of the Lord's glory. And the sound of the cherubim wings was heard even to the outer court as the voice of the Almighty God when he speaketh." So you can have your video games and your electronic cell phones and such. You know the amazing thing here, that the priests and the people of the city, the religious Jews, they cried out, he was going to destroy the city, and they cried out, no, the city is the cauldron and we're the flesh. We want to stay right here in this cauldron. If you go on to read Ezekiel, don't let yourself become the flesh and the cauldron of this world. But be those that are transformed, that are renewed, that look for his appearing. All I can say is, you better. You'll have to be his own on that day. On that day, there will be but two kinds. There are going to be those that would cry out for death, for the comfort of death, Jesus said in Matthew 24. But they won't be able to die. Death won't come. And then there'll be those that love is appearing. Where you been? I've been waiting on you so long. So I said, Jesus, come quickly. Oh no, well I've got this and no. Jesus, come quickly. Those that love his appearing. Turn with me right quick, would you, to Ephesians chapter 2. There's one more verse on the blood that I just wanted to read. But now in Christ Jesus, verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off. Oh man. Made nigh by the blood of Christ. Not some dried up liquid and some dirt somewhere. Because faith is a substance of things hoped for. All that love is appearing. How glorious and how marvelous. Thank you, Lord.